Please open your Bibles to the book of James, the first chapter. We can start our reading at verse 19. The letter of James, chapter 1, starting at verse 19. I would encourage you to keep your hand here. We will eventually be back to this passage. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be righteous and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Let's pray. Father, we want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, I am grateful for those who come to hear the word of God. I'm grateful for those that are here this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are not able to be here this morning. Many of them, I hope, are watching either live stream right now or will watch the recording a little bit later. But we're thankful that the Word of God can be preached, and we're thankful that we can have ears to hear. But Lord, hearing is not enough. We're supposed to be doers of the Word in all aspects of our lives. Our Christian faith should get the final decision. It should get the ultimate vote in what we watch, what we say, what we listen to, where we go. Lord, we want to put the word into practice. We want to put James' words into practice. And Lord, as we finish up this series that we've been looking at on wisdom, we want to apply that to what has become ever more so a bigger role in our society, in our culture, and maybe even in our lives, and that is social media and the internet. So Lord, give us wisdom to hear and to do, I pray. Amen. We have made it to the top of the wisdom pyramid, but top, in this case, does not mean the best. Like the old food pyramid, at the top were fats, oils, and sweets. Here are on the top is the internet and social media. And like fats, oils, and sweets, they should be used sparingly in a wisdom diet. The problem is we don't use the internet and social media sparingly. We gorge on it like it's shady maple. We keep going back for more, and it's making us sick. This doesn't mean there's nothing good to be found online, or at Shady Maple, by the way. Okay. There are what you could call digital diamonds in the rough. Now, it'd be great if we could go cold turkey, live totally analog, off the grid. But for most of us, that would be impractical, if not downright impossible. Besides, there is some wisdom to be found online. It's the world's most powerful library card. YouTube can be a seminary for a pastor in rural India. Facebook can connect us to missionaries on the other side of the globe. PayPal can pay the guy that mows my grass. You can book your motel through an app. Watch your favorite team without paying for cable. You can get rewards for gas, food. Your phone can serve as your calendar, your camera, your alarm clock, your map. You can FaceTime the grandkids. You never have to go to the bank again. You can work from anywhere. On my phone, I have a copy of the U.S. Constitution. You can securely text people in dangerous countries. You can check the weather without going outside. You can get reviews of products and restaurants and books. Some of you make a living in front of a screen. Churches can reach shut-ins through screens. You can Zoom job candidates like we're going to do tomorrow night. The list is endless. So are the dangers. Millions of people have an addiction to pornography. The porn industry is aggressively searching for eyes. I heard John Stone Street once say, "Your 8-year-old may not be looking for porn, but porn is looking for your 8-year-old. Study after study points to the problem that social media has caused with kids and teens and adults. Extended screen time is not good for anybody. Now, Friday morning, I had scheduled an email that went out in which I sent some links to some of the studies that address the problem with screen time, with extended screen time. It was scheduled to go, it went out 8 o'clock Friday morning. It was scheduled. Friday morning, I got up and, you know, and again, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, I'm going to be honest, I checked my news feed on my phone, and there was an article right off the bat that confirmed the fact of what I'm talking about this morning, and even reinforced the links that I sent. This was not one of the links, but it came out Friday from The Atlantic. It's called The Dangerous Experiment on Teen Girls. And the subhead is, the preponderance of evidence suggests that social media is causing real damage to adolescents. Now, those links I sent, I would encourage you, if you got that email, to check them out. Now, some of you, obviously, you don't have teenagers anymore, you don't have kids, but you might find a link that you can send to someone who does. The author of this article from The Atlantic wrote a book. His name is Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, I think that's how you pronounce it. But he wrote a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. I highly recommend that book. But here's another article from The Atlantic. If you know anything about The Atlantic, I read The Atlantic off and on. It is by no means a conservative magazine. But it's not just fundamental Bible thumpers that are seeing the problem with the internet and social media. It's across the board. In those links I sent one from the Journal of American, from the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is from their journal. It says, use of social media and television in adolescents may enhance symptoms of depression and should therefore be taken into account when developing preventative methods. You can click on that link and read the article. From the Child Mind Institute, social media can also cut into the time the kids spend on activities that make them feel good, like exercise and hobbies. Additionally, it can distract from important tasks like homework. Having to juggle these responsibilities can increase kids' stress. Studies also suggest that using social media at night interferes with restful sleep in many teenagers. For the Mayo Clinic, again, these are not Christian sites. This is from the Mayo Clinic. However, social media can also be social media use can also negatively affect teens, distracting them, disrupting their sleep, exposing them to bullying, rumor spreading, realistic views of other people's lives, and peer pressure. In fact, I printed off a part of the article written by medical professionals at the Mayo Clinic. There are steps you can take to encourage responsible use of social media and limit some of the negative effects. Consider these. Set reasonable limits. Talk to your teen about how to avoid letting social media interfere with his or her activities, sleep, meals, or homework. Encourage a bedtime routine that avoids electronic media use. And keep cell phones and tablets out of teens' bedrooms. Set an example by following the rules yourself. Monitor your teen's accounts. Let your teen know that you'll be regularly checking his or her social media accounts. You might aim to do once a week or more. Make sure you follow through. Explain what's not okay. Discourage your teen from gossiping, spreading rumors, bullying, or damaging someone's reputation, online or otherwise. Talk to your teen about the appropriate, what is appropriate and safe to share on social media. Encourage face-to-face contact with friends. This is particularly important for teens vulnerable to social anxiety disorder. Talk about social media. Talk about your own social media habits. Let your teen ask your teen how he or she is using social media and how it makes them or her, him or her feel. Remind your teen that social media is full of unrealistic images. Parents, do your homework. Be the parent. Talk to your kids about the dangers. Set limits. I mean, you bought the device. It's yours, not theirs. That's the biggest thing that blows my mind when I hear that. It's not their phone. Unless they're paying for it themselves and bought it themselves, which I highly doubt. And even if it was, it's still in my house using my internet, right? But this morning I'm going to talk to the rest of us. Now maybe you're not at all online, that's great. But many of us are. How do we control our use of the internet and social media? Well, I've been referring to the book by Brett McCracken called The Wisdom Pyramid. And he gives some useful advice in the book. Number one, go online with a purpose. Don't just surf. In other words, have a plan and stick to it. Choose quality over quantity. Don't just read it because some algorithm put it on your screen. Slow down. Don't spend your time reading trending now and hot takes. Most of them won't matter in a week. Read what is tried and true. Diversify your exposure. Challenge yourself by actually giving attention to well-articulated versions of the other side of the argument. You can learn a lot by hearing the other side. One thing I do is I try to get my news from international sources. Instead of reading the U.S. sources for national news, I see what the BBC or Reuters has to say. We have to admit that screens have changed us. As Marshall McLuhan said in 1964, before any of what I've been talking about would have made any sense at all, the medium is the message. In other words, how we receive the message is more important than the message is. Or as has been said, we make our machines, then our machines make us. Every human invention changes us for good or bad. A New York Times article from 2019 says, putting down your smartphone may make you live longer. I don't know about that, but it'll make you happier, I'll tell you that. Screens can steal our time, tempt us to sin, lead to addiction. Screens occupy a larger and larger part of our life. They are not intrinsically right or wrong. What we need is discernment. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We need to be discerning. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Philippians 1:10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So, here are some questions to ask yourself the next time you look at your phone or your tablet or your laptop, whatever device, wherever the screen is, okay? First of all, does using it in this way violate clear scripture? Does using it in this way violate clear scripture? Psalm 101. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. I will set no wicked things before my eyes. I will walk integrity in my house. Second, does doing this way offend my conscience? Again, everything is not black and white. I understand that. Everything is not always right or wrong. That's why we need discernment. And one filter is Scripture. But Scripture does not speak to every single thing you're going to run across on your screen. So God gave us a conscience. Acts 23:1. Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." Does it offend your conscience? Then maybe you shouldn't be watching, reading. Third, does using it this way cause others to stumble? Does using it this way cause others to stumble? Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So it's not just about how it affects me. How would it affect someone else? Fourth, does using it this way develop an unhealthy dependency? 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Have you developed an unhealthy dependency on your phone? I mean, it is amazing, right? 50 years ago, we never gave a thought to leaving the house without a phone. Now you might be 3 miles down the street and you turn around to get your stupid phone. Fifth, does using it this way build me up? Does using it this way build me up? 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify or build up. Six, does using it this way waste my time? Does using it this way waste my time? Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Seventh, does using it this way feed my sin nature? Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immortality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. But I want to drill down on just one aspect. If you'll look at James chapter 1, for most of us, if you have kids, teenagers, I seriously, again, stress, look at that email and read those articles. It's very important. Yeah. But most of us, we are out of that stage of life. We may have grandkids we worry about, but I think most of us struggle with something else, so I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I think James gives us some practical advice on online interaction with those who disagree with you. Now, this is not just for online, okay? This is at work, at Thanksgiving dinner, whenever, wherever you encounter somebody who disagrees with you. This is biblical interaction with those who disagree. Biblical interaction with those who disagree. Or, as my title was getting at, keeping social media from being unsocial media. I think just from an observation viewpoint, since the proliferation of Facebook and podcasts and all these things, they were invented and sold under the idea of social media. Is this country more social now than it was before that? I don't think so. How should a Christian react then? Well, I think James tells us, verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren. Okay. But everyone must be quick to hear. In other words, be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. Don't decide what you think before you've heard them out. I mean, and I'm guilty of this. Okay, I will admit this. Don't you hate it when you're in a discussion and you can tell that the person isn't listening, they're just formulating their response? If someone posts something, don't read it first. One thing I've learned, and this was always true of newspapers, I understand that, but it's more so now with clickbait, as they call it. Headlines often have nothing to do with the article. Isn't that the truth? They got some guy held up somewhere in a closed off room making up headlines that they can figure out which article to stick it on. If someone posts something and no doubt the article, the title has been designed to make you mad, right, or disgusted, or think what idiots they are, why don't you read the article first? They might have some valid points. Be willing to listen. Don't decide what you think without reading the title, without reading the article. Just don't go by the title. Listen to what they are saying, or as James says, be quick to hear. Hear them out. But he also says in verse 19, slow to speak. Be slow to respond. Be slow to respond. Don't be so quick to take offense or to take it personally. Don't be so thin-skinned. In other words, when he says be slow to respond, don't immediately react. Matter of fact, you don't have to react at all. Do you know that? You actually do not have to react. You do not have to respond. I know that blows some of your minds. You don't. Somebody posts something you don't agree with, you don't have to tell them you don't agree with it. Now, if you want to formulate a well-thought-out response, take your time to do it. Make sure you're addressing what is in the article, not in the headline. That's fine. But don't immediately react to something. Listen to what they are saying. Don't immediately post a response. So, James says, verse 19, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Watch your tone. Look at verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We're to speak the truth in what? Love, not anger. When email first started being prevalent, of course, one of the biggest problems with online interaction, particularly email, is that it's not face-to-face, right? non-face-to-face communication is very prone to misunderstanding. That's why I read and reread, and I still mess up. But I read and reread my emails before I send them, because I want to make sure I've said what I mean to say. Because people get it; they're not saying. They don't know if you're making a joke. I don't even know this. I am sarcastic at times. Okay. Sometimes. That doesn't come off. That doesn't always work online. Right? I think it's funny. They think I'm the devil incarnate. You got to watch your tone because, again, they're not getting any verbal clues from you. They don't know you're laughing when you say it. You're smiling. Verse 21, therefore, all right, so what you should do, okay, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Number four, apply the word. Apply the word. Look at verse 24, verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the Bible, the scripture, the word, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I think a little humility goes a long way. Look at yourself in the mirror first. Look at yourself in the mirror first. Humility is the opposite of anger. We've told not verses 19 and 20, don't get angry. We can have legitimate disagreements on stuff, on policies, procedures, politics, on hot button issues. But in all those cases, we should apply the word of God. I read an interesting article just the other day. I don't know if I totally agree with it or not, but this person who is a media figure, writes for a living, has said that they're coming increasingly more to the conviction that when they respond to certain things, they're just going to quote the Bible and leave it at that. Just quote the Bible and leave it at that. We need to apply the word. And here's a question to ask ourselves. Does the Bible really speak to this issue, or is it a matter of preference? I got a feeling there's a lot of things we're fighting about that there's room for disagreement between people who believe the Bible. Is that just your preference? So we said in the last point, speak the truth in love, but it also is speak the truth in love. By the way, if you can't verify it, don't say it or post it or copy it or send a link to it. If you can't verify it, please do not participate in this misinformation age that we live in. You see some horrible story about something, you just can't believe it. You know what? There's probably a reason why you can't believe it. It ain't true. Apply the word. Lastly, live the word. Live the word. Verse 25, James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his own tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. We live the word by watching our speech. We live the word by watching our speech. Now think about this. And I truly believe, I believe truth is on our side. If truth is on your side, then practice what you preach. Because that's the only thing that matters. Do your actions match your words? Ephesians says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our fight, listen, our fight is a spiritual battle, not personal. Let's pray. Now, Lord, there's clearly reasons to conclude that there is a great divide in our country. That I'm not denying that at all. And I think there's clear guidance in Scripture about some of these issues in which we know what is right. But even if we're right, it's important how we respond, how we speak, our tone. We need to safeguard, we need to guard against anger. We need to watch our words. But yet, Lord, we do admit that there are many issues that the Bible is clear about, and we're not called to condone or compromise. But I think the true response is, well, let's stick to the Word. What does the Word say? So, Lord, I guess I have a twofold purpose here. One is for parents who still have kids at home to redouble their effort of protecting their kids from the dangers of screen time, social media. And, Lord, there's all kinds of social media I haven't even mentioned. But they know what it is and what they need to look to see what their kids are into. But Lord, I pray for those who are parents particularly, but I pray for the rest of us who have also been fundamentally changed by easy access to information and easy access to proclaiming our opinions and viewpoints and politics and whatever. So, Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Amen.